broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Live every night here from the El Pacifico. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they ain't got the guts. Now we have...
You got to explain that.
I ain't going to explain nothing. The audience understands, and the guys that I'm talking about, they know what I'm saying is true. But it's all love. It's all good. Anyway, welcome to the program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I'm getting better with the national number. We did our local show on Saturday night, and I only busted out the national number one time, bud.
Getting better.
I am getting better. And by the way, on our website, philhendryshow.com, if you were to scroll over there tonight, you would see, actually you wouldn't see it right now because we have some, we have the wrong graphic up, but just underneath the graphic that we have up is a pitch to visit our website. And in so doing, you will actually pitch our shop, our souvenir shop. And in so doing, you will have an opportunity to buy for the Phil Hendry fan in your family. So just head over to the Phil Hendry Show shop. We have a selection of hats and shirts and coffee mugs and shot glasses and our legacy CDs, which are a limited edition. So by all means, head over there and pick up a gift for the Phil Hendry fan in your life. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And we're going to be bringing on the line here in a moment Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who was, I believe, attending a father-daughter function at his daughter's school. It wasn't a father-daughter function, right?
No, it was a men's club. It was like a family night for the school.
Family night for the school. He was doing some comedy?
Yeah, doing a stand-up comedy.
And we're going to find out what happened there because I understand... There was a question of taste as to one of the jokes that he told. Now, leading into this entire folderall is the story at Penn State, which is as bizarre. And, of course, these stories, they sort of top each other for their just for the difficulty we have to comprehend them. But this story out of Penn State, where one of the football staff, a defensive coordinator for the football team, has been charged with the sexual molestation of children. In one incident, this is an allegation, this man, Mr. Sandusky is his name, Coach Sandusky, what's this guy's first name? In any event, this guy is alleged to have forced a boy as young as 10 to have sex with him in the shower at the football complex on campus in 2002. Now, two top Penn State officials have quit their jobs. They were charged on Monday with covering up the sexual abuse scandal that has tarnished the reputation of Joe Paterno.
Why is that going to do anything to Paterno?
Because Joe Paterno's at the top. He's the coach. And when you're the coach, you're the guy that runs the show. You're supposed to know, man. Athletic director Tim Curley and top finance official Gary Schultz appeared in court charged with failing to tell police about the alleged sexual abuse of young boys by an assistant football coach, even though they knew about it for years. They also were accused of perjury before a grand jury probing the scandal. The charges at face value are disturbing, to say the least, District Judge William Wenner said. All right, and now I don't even know if Joe Paterno has weighed in on this, but I can tell you something. It is a very, very serious, serious set of circumstances. And, of course, what we're talking about here, folks, is a serious set of circumstances having to do with, in the case of Joe Paterno, a revered, longtime football coach, as well as a very revered, longtime, respected football program and a school, one of the top universities in the country, Penn State University. Stephen Bozell, sir, how are you?
Yes, Mr. Turner, I'm doing very fine. Thank you for having us on.
And I understand you're in transit back home tonight, huh?
Yes, sir, we are. I'm with my son, Stephen Jr. We're coming back from San Diego, where he's been helping me do a job. I'm a construction contractor. I got my son right along with me.
And are you good ways from home? Are you okay to be talking?
I'm hands-free, and please don't. My son is... This is very sensitive. It's a very sensitive topic, but I wanted my son to hear it because I feel it. It's important for young people to know that there are people in the world
Well, now, see, I might have a problem. Do you have your sons listening to the radio right now?
Yes, sir.
We're going to be getting into some things I don't know whether a child should hear.
Well, I mean, if it does that, I'll have them turn the radio off. We can do that. I'm hands-free on the headset here, and I can certainly do that, or have him, turn it down, or have him, you want to do that.
Okay, sir. I think that would be a good idea, and I'll leave that to your good judgment as a father, but I don't know that this is a topic you're going to want him to hear a lot of, because there are some very specific things here.
Well, yes, sir, but the reason why I'm on your program is my understanding that I did talk to this gentleman, Mr. Dickman, say he won't say to me, talk, be good.
I didn't hear that. Say that again.
I'm sorry. I said that Mr. Dickman told me that it would be good if I talked about what happened to me with Eric Dorton and the parents' day that we had over at my daughter's school at CK Corona.
Yeah, well, my understanding is, sir, it was a parents' night and there was a parent talent show.
Yes, sir.
And you did a stand-up comedy act?
Well, that's what I do with some of the different parent functions that we do. I do, a lot of parents like to sing and some of them will tell stories or anything. I do comedy. And I had told and when I say comedy, I do just jokes. And I told a joke on this Penn State. And at no time did I mention anything having to do with sex. At no time did I mention anything having to do with anything very specific. At no time did I at all endorse or condone this terrible activity. Quite the contrary, I'm a father of a boy and of a young daughter, and as well as a husband. At no time did I say, well, I think the Penn State sex abuse scandal.
By the way, I hate to call these things sex abuse,
Yes, sir.
Because this is the assault of a child. And when we drop the word sex into it, I suppose what we're saying, it was the assault sexually of a child, the same way that we see this when a woman is sexually assaulted or anybody. But it gives, when we say it's a sex abuse, it's just the vicious assault of a kid using sex. So for the purposes of what we're talking about on the program, let's just talk about child abuse.
I'm with that, Mr. Henry.
Let's just talk about the violent abuse, the violent assault on a child, because that's exactly what this was.
I don't disagree with you at all, sir.
All right, sir.
We had been on, probably on stage, I was backstage for this talent night, when I was called out on stage to do this, my portion of the performance. And as the night goes, then we stop the performance, and the parents get together, and we have dinner, and we share our thoughts and feelings on the school's future. I came out, and they announced me and so forth, sat down with Mr. Steve Bozell, who is the father of our daughter, my daughter's April.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the father of April Bozell. I then came onto the stage, and I told a joke, and I said, and again, I want you to know that I don't endorse what's happening. I don't think any of it's funny. I said one little thing that has nothing to do with being funny when I said, you know why I'm not going to send my son to Penn State now? And I coaxed the audience, do you know? And no, they don't. Because he's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball. Ha, ha, ha. Now
That was the joke?
Yes, sir. And believe me, it got, when I had rehearsed it to a couple of members of my crew, I told it to members of my staff, my company, and they found it to be very funny. So I can tell you now, I can tell you for sure it's funny, sir. And
I mean, I didn't find it funny.
Are you sure that you don't find it funny, or are you doing what a lot of these talk shows do, which I've encountered? Because I've done a lot of talk shows. I've done more talk shows probably than any people, in terms of being a guest, probably than anybody, any people that are listening right now. And I know that there's some talk show hosts who want to make it sound like they've got more.
All right, let me just explain to you. I didn't find it funny. I'm not pretending like I didn't find it funny. I'm not saying that I didn't find it funny because I want people to think that I'm a, an upstanding guy. I didn't find it funny.
All right, well, that's fair enough. But, I have to tell you, it's only fair for me to tell you. A lot of people I know thought it was funny.
Okay, well, to me it was awkward. And why you would tell a joke like that in front of parents and kids, you know?
No, that, see, because again, I'm not talking about the specifics of the sex act. I simply said, well, I'm not sending my kid to Penn State because my son's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball, and then...
And then the laughter is supposed to hit there.
Yes, sir. The way you write jokes, and I don't know if you're familiar with how jokes get wrote down, but you're supposed to, you have a joke, you do a punchline, you have to know exactly where the laughter will come, you give it three beats, one, two, three, so the laughter is going to die down, then you go to another joke. That's how it does, that's how they do it.
And tell me the joke again, because what happened? They reacted badly, didn't they?
Well, I was told that I was asked to stop my performance in the middle, which was an embarrassment to me, an embarrassment to my wife, an embarrassment to my son, an embarrassment to my daughter. It was a humiliation visited upon me by a school that I support. And all I had said and all I did was I was being topical about what's in the news.
I know, but it's about sex abuse of kids, and you're at a school.
But I didn't mention sex abuse of a kid. All I said was, you want to know why my son's not going to Penn State? Because he's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball. And that's where the laugh comes. When you write down your joke, you will have, here's the setup, here's what I told, here's the laugh comes here.
So, okay. Our number is 877.
If you don't understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. I still don't find it funny.
Well, I had my performance in front of all these teachers and parents cut short, and I was humiliated. That's why I'm on tonight talking to you. You don't have to find it funny, but you have to understand. You must understand how I could be humiliated.
Let me give the phone number. We can talk it out. I don't see it.
What don't you see, sir?
Well, I don't know that if you were humiliated, it wasn't something you didn't deserve. And I'm sorry. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, talking to Steve Bozell. His son, Stephen Jr., is with him. This man told a joke at a parents' night at their school, CK Corona School, for his daughter, and it did not go over well. My son, here's why I'm not telling my, what is it?
Here's why I'm not taking my kids to...
Yeah, here's why I'm not sending my kids to Penn State. My son's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball, and then...
Well, I mean, he didn't go, ha-ha. That's what it's supposed to laugh.
No, I know that. All right, 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm telling you, it's a night to remember. I'm only sorry that we weren't on Halloween night. Well, we were on Halloween night, weren't we?
Yeah, we were, but we didn't go outside.
Going outside tonight has been great. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell is in Corona, California, and we're talking about a joke that he told at a parents' night at one of the schools of his children. This is at your daughter's school, sir?
I'm sorry, Bill, did you say that again?
Where was this?
It's at my daughter's at CK Corona.
CK, okay, that's the middle school?
Yes, sir.
Now, who is Erica Dorton? I understand...
she is the principal of the school. Then that was the message was passed to me from her. She wanted me to stop... telling this joke or not continue on with the jokes I was telling.
In other words, you were up and then off again, huh?
Yes, sir. That was essentially what I found to be so, you know, humiliating about it.
All right, well, we're taking some phone calls from people, okay?
Yes, sir.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I just want to let you know that because I don't want you to feel that some of them may disagree with you and so forth.
No, I understand that, but that's... If you're saying they're going to disagree with me, I mean, I'm the father of my son. I love my children. I would never do anything that would make sex abusing a child. And I don't think that's funny at all.
No, I absolutely understand that. We're talking right now about the appropriateness of this joke and whether or not you should have been taken off the stage there by Mrs. Dorton, or whatever her name is. Let's go to Ed. Hey, Ed, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Stephen Bozell.
Yeah, how you doing, Stephen?
I'm good, sir. Go ahead.
All right. No, what I was saying earlier is I think the joke was hilarious, but as an entertainer, you've
Thank
got
you.
To know the venue you're in and
yes, sir.
How it can, and you've also got to understand how it can be taken, regardless of what the intent was. I can see where she stopped, not to humiliate you, but just to prevent further potential embarrassment. And as an entertainer, part of the entertainment business, you're going to get the hook every now and then. You just got to be thick-skinned enough to say, you know what, it didn't go. Go on to the next one. Don't take it personal. Don't look at the
humiliation. Well, that was it.
Not
when I was on stage, right, are you an entertainer, sir?
I am. I've been in a professional position for 20 years. Put myself
yes, sir.
That way. I've gotten
yes, sir.
And I've gotten booed, and you just keep on going and don't worry about it.
Well, here's the thing that made me very confused about it. I said to some friends of mine at work, and I told you, you thought it's good. And I told another joke. I said, I'm not going to use this one, but this joke was, I forget which one it was. It was, Penn State. What's the difference between Penn State and State Penn? Nothing. It's all the same in the shower, you know?
And again, funny joke.
Okay, see, he's not laughing at it.
That's a funnier joke than the other joke.
What venue?
Yes, sir.
If you're talking to strictly adults and you're not in a school environment, that'd be hilarious. But, you know, if I got up...
I was talking to...
If I got...
Yes, sir.
If I got... I've heard you
yes,
on the radio a couple of times explaining your point of view. I want you to take a counterpoint. If
yes,
you
sir.
Are in an adult-only entertainment bar scene, that'd be hilarious. If you're in an area where you've got sensitivities, you've got kids potentially involved and parents who are sensitive about something, you know, I'm not going to sing rugby scenes and body bar songs in a church choir. You just got to know where you are regardless of how...
Well, I was telling that... I didn't do that joke. Yes, sir, I didn't do that joke. I told
right.
that joke.
But
there was a group of women
listen,
who were outside.
You're trying to justify telling your baseball... He doesn't play baseball joke in a school with kids in a sensitive environment. Hilarious joke, wrong venue. That's all
you understand? See, I agree with Ed. Ed's making a very good point. Do you understand what he's saying?
I can't quite figure it out. What are you guys trying to say?
What we're saying is there's kids, there's families, you know, and you're talking about a story where there was sex abuse of children.
But all I said was, what about the other one? The one where I said, what's the difference between Penn State and State Penn? In the shower, it's all the same. What about that one? Where's this positioning? Ain't there a guy there? Did you ever have people throwing wine bottles at you through chicken wire, right? Well, it's the same deal.
Not the same deal.
Why'd they put chicken wire up?
Yeah.
You've got to understand where you are. You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
You're arguing
it's the venue.
We're arguing where you told it and the situation. What, did you mean to send anybody? No. I'm a father and a grandfather. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Why didn't they put chicken wire up? They could have put chicken wire in front of me as they do in bars, you know?
Chicken wire at a school function?
Well, you guys are talking about how, you know, there's going to be people disagreeing.
They're not going to put chicken wire up in a school function, not at a parent-teacher night. Thanks very much for your call, Ed. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, this gentleman who was he's in a bar, or played in a bar band, right?
Yeah, he says he's been a musician. And, yeah, they may have, in some of those roadhouses, they'll put chicken wire, whatever the hell they put up, to keep the people from throwing beer glasses. Do you want them to do that?
You know, I understand what you're saying, sir, and I don't find it all that funny. I don't find it all that funny when I told a perfectly good joke. The second one was perfectly good. And
the second joke might have been perfectly good. The first joke...
That gentleman said it was funny, though.
We're not even talking about whether it's funny or not. The first joke I personally didn't think was funny. The second joke I thought was pretty good, you know?
You did.
Yes, sir, I did. But the first one, but it doesn't make any difference whether I think it's funny or not. You had Erica Dorton call you up.
Hold on.
You had Erica Dorton, the principal of the school, call you up and tell you that it, you know, was not appropriate. What did you want to say, sir?
The woman that I'm talking about, Erica Dorton, everyone at the school knows is a very, there's something wrong with her. And I have recordings of her calling my home, as I've said to you, Mr. Henry, and I think I indicated this to you or to one a member of your staff. Do you recall?
I recall you said you had recordings, yeah.
All right. If I could just play one, that I've got this on my home machine. Stand by, please.
I heard breathing.
That is the woman that in question. She's called my home on two different occasions. I'll play that one more time for you just to hear that. You hear that, sir?
Yeah, I heard it. I got to take a break. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell on the line with us, and we're talking about this terrible, terrible scandal at Penn State and how it, like so many things that we do on our show, how they affect us personally. Mr. Bozell, you are with your son, and I know you love your son and you love your daughter and your family. You've taken the news story, the Penn State news story, and you've put it into a comedy routine that you were doing for your daughter's school. Was it a family night?
You got to say that again, Mr. Hendry.
Was that a family night you were at?
Yeah, it was a parents' talent night.
Parents' talent night. And you put into this parents' talent night a joke about Penn State.
No, but I didn't say anything specifically about sex organs. See, this is the thing that I think you're missing, and the thing that I think your listeners are. I didn't talk about touching a kid. I was saying two jokes specifically. But my son's not going to Penn State. He's a pitcher. He's not a catcher. You know, he plays baseball. And then the other one was, what's the difference between Penn State and State Penn? In the shower? Nothing. That one is they say in show business, they'll call them different things. That they call that gold in show business.
And that's gold. Maybe it is gold, but in front of parents? In front of kids?
Erica Dorton, the one that was breathing into my phone, is the only one that found fault with it and embarrassed me in front of my family because she wanted to pull a power play.
The principal, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll go to Austin. Austin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thanks, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Basically, man, when I heard your joke, I literally heard my son's not going to go to Penn State because he doesn't like to get sexually abused in the shower by trusted authority figures. You didn't have to say anything about the actual sexual nature of what was going on with that, but it was implied in the joke. We all know that pitching and catching is slang terms for gay sex.
Yes, sir, but nobody breaks it down the way you did. No one sits there and goes, oh, let me analyze this joke before I laugh at it. See, that's it.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. The guy, what the gentleman is saying is there's a certain...
No, sir. Nobody breaks a joke down, Mr. Ernie, goes, oh, well, let me analyze that joke before I think it's good, you know, or whatever you want to say.
And what we're saying, you do analyze the joke. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Gentleman, you see what I'm saying?
That's exactly what I heard when I heard the joke, man. It was in poor taste. Maybe I'm smarter than the average comedy listener, but when I heard the joke, I mean, that's exactly what I heard. It was a bad joke in front of the wrong audience. Your second joke was pretty funny, but it wasn't appropriate for the audience. You don't tell a joke like that at a school. I mean, plain and simple.
I understand. The problem is,
I agree with Phil.
Well, you got to understand, though, and I don't think Mr. Hendry, you know, I appreciate very much your opinion, but I've got Dale Doninger in the audience, and I've got a number of people who work the Ice House in Pasadena. I was hoping that I'd maybe get, you know, a spot at the Ice House. And
So you mean professional scouts?
Well, the people who work in clubs, yeah.
Well, I don't know that you are going to endear yourself to those people.
Not if I get pulled off the stage like I'm some kind of punk. That's what happened to me. I got treated, you got to understand something, I got treated like a two-bit punk by the headmistress of a middle school.
Yeah, I can throw something in here real quick, Phil.
Go ahead.
Dude, a part of your job as a comedian, I mean, you have to be able to engage your audience, right? I mean, you want to be a professional comedian or at least a novice getting paid to do it. You have to be able to read your audience. The fact is you misread your audience. I can't believe that the only person in the audience that was offended by your joke was the principal. I have a feeling that a lot of people were kind of upset about it because it's just not a joke you tell in front of kids and all that when everybody knows the story and it is sexual in nature, that by referencing it, you are therefore putting sex abuse into your joke.
Yeah. I think both you and Mr. Andre, I think you guys need to work on your sense of humor because...
No, we're not talking about our sense of humor. We're talking about knowing what, you know, nothing is funny to me if I realize that I've hurt somebody or I'm talking about hurtful things. I can't, you know...
I didn't hurt anybody other than this Norton. Do you think it's appropriate that a teacher at a school, sir, calls me up late at night and breathes into my phone?
All right. Anyway, thank you very much for your call, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for taking
it. Was it Austin? It was Austin, yeah. Thanks so much, sir. You
cut me off. As I was mentioning, that Erica Norton has, on a number of occasions, called my home and has not said anything into the phone. She's just breathed into the phone. I find that very creepy. And
we can talk about that, and we can discuss that in terms of what effect it has on this topic, because these sound like two different topics. Because the woman's breathing into the phone, there may be something wrong with her. There's no question about it, but I don't think she made the wrong decision there. Here is Josh. Josh, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Appreciate the time. When you look at any professional comedian, a professional comedian sees the demographic that he's in front of and makes his material based upon the demographic that he's in front of. At what point in time did you ever assume that the demographic you were in front of, which I don't know the age group of the children, whether it be teenagers or preteens or whatever the case may be, how could you have any idea that making an underlying tone towards a gay slur would be an appropriate joke?
It's a very good question.
Okay, and it is a good question. Yes, there were preschoolers there, but the joke was intended. There were preschoolers as well as regular elementary school kids, but the joke was intended for people 16 years of age and older. That's what I'm understanding. If you read any of the comedy manuals,
then why would you?
Because there were parents. Because there were people that people were there that age too, and I wanted to kind of let them know that I'm not lame. In other words, what I was trying to say was, I wanted to let them know that I'm not some guy that does kids' birthday parties. That I'm a legitimate comedian. So that was my way.
You're at a school.
What?
So you're at a school. So your material should be based on a preschool level or a middle school level so that you can have an association with your crowd. You don't immediately jump ahead and choose to take an adult topic. It's something taboo that you stay away from. When you see a comedian that say he's African American, he makes black jokes to associate with the crowd and make fun of himself and stuff like that. You don't make underlying tones for gay activities in front of a bunch of preschoolers.
If a preschooler was on stage telling jokes, what you're saying, it would have been appropriate for a preschooler to talk about being touched by an adult. That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't make any sense for an adult to talk to a preschooler about gay activities.
But I wasn't.
What do you mean when you say, Steve, that you were talking to the adults there?
Because I was talking to the adults to let them know that I'm not lame and doing kid parties. I can do real comedy.
So you told that joke as a way of what? Breaking the ice up?
Letting them know that I can do adult humor, yeah.
Well, that's when you do it at the open mic night on Friday. That's when that joke would have been appropriate on open mic night on Friday because you would have been around a 21 and up crowd that were having drinks and having a good time. It wouldn't be the 4-year-old pigtails in the front counter, in the front row saying, what's a pitcher and a catcher when they ask mommy and daddy? And they have to come up with an idea to tell the child, you know, and
If you see a preschooler in the front row saying, what's a pitcher and a catcher? Well, you know what I did, and I guess you gentlemen will find fault with this, but children do this all the time. I turned around and I pointed to my butt.
Well, how is that appropriate at all?
Kids do that all the time, sir.
They do it all the time when they're talking about little kids' stuff. They're not talking to...
Well, the gentleman's laughing, see? Are you not laughing, sir?
I'm sorry to say, but a full-grown man talking about a pitcher and a catcher, and when he says catcher, he points to his rear end in front of a bunch of children.
Yeah.
You're trying to say that you are breaking the ice and not making an association, that the caller beforehand was breaking it down in simplest terms, yet you just used a prop as your body part to talk about a catcher.
Because the little girl would ask, as you said, and
there's no reason in the world why you should have to explain that to a child ever, because the joke shouldn't have been told in any venue where there is a kid.
Well, you know, again, I'm a professional. And
are you a professional comic, or are you trying to break into it?
I'm trying to. Are you a professional comic? No. Is the gentleman on the phone? No.
And I'm a talk show host.
Okay. I'm doing this to try to break into comedy.
And you're doing it in front of kids. So when the little girl asks, "What's a catcher?" The little girl asks, "What's a catcher?"
You would turn and point to your butt and laugh. That's what you. That's what the manuals, all the comedy manuals, would say.
Yeah, but when does a comedy manual ever strictly point and say that this is going to be your demographic? A bunch of preschoolers with their parents on, teacher night.
They talk about making children laugh, and they say that the most reliable joke for a kid, obviously, is a fart joke. Any joke having to do with boogers, all that.
Well, I don't know how you professionally.
You need professional advice if you're going to do a clown show.
All right, listen, thank you very much for your call, sir. I appreciate it. That is Josh calling. Thanks, Josh. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
The thing of it is, Mr. Henry, that I don't think you get is that if you are going to do a clown act...
When you say a clown act, what do you mean?
I mean for children.
A children's birthday party?
Yes. And you take a look at any of the standard comedy manuals that are out there right now, and the Bible of all stand-up comedy joke books... is Bergen's, they got a reprint that went in 1999-2000. The Bergen's is a standard manual.
What is this, Bergen's?
Yeah, it tells you about jokes and how to do it, and they tell you if you're going to be in front of kids, if you're going to do a kid birthday party, the whole chapter, booger jokes, you know.
Booger jokes.
boy, that hurts.
Is he hung up?
Let me get him back.
I think he did.
Oh, my God. You know, is he kidding? Bergen's is the standard manual. If you're going to work a kid's birthday party, booger jokes and fart jokes. I guess so. Can you imagine a guy having to consult a comedy manual, though, to make kids laugh? I mean, that's probably the easiest thing there is in the world. Make a kid laugh. Stephen Bozell on the line with us. He's talking about his joke that did not go over well. This is not the first time Mr. Bozell has had this problem. He's also got a problem with the schoolmaster there. Her name is Erica Dorton, someone that he says has called his home late at night breathing into the phone. This is a middle school teacher, a middle school principal. The joke was told in front of a bunch of parents at a middle school. My kid's not going to Penn State because he's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball, ha-ha. And the other joke was, what's the difference between Penn State and the state pen? In the shower, there is no difference. I don't think either joke is all that gut-wrenchingly funny, and I don't see anything funny about the situation. 877-876-PHIL is the number. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be right back with more from Stephen Bozell. And more coming up tonight on Herman Cain, a possible debate between Ted Bell and, what's his name? Who's the guy? Dr. Jim Sadler. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and on the line with me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Mr. Bozell, it should be noted, has been driving with his son, and I asked you that your son not listen to the broadcast, and he has not been listening, correct?
As far as I know, no, he has not. Stephen, I told him no, that he should not. I know he has his own iPod or whatever you got. But we're traveling through the Anza-Borrega Desert right now, Mr. Henry. It's a very beautiful drive in the daytime. It's very dark here at night.
Well, you be very careful, okay? Because I know parts of that highway are two-lane.
Oh, we're doing fine. We should be
making Corona will probably make Corona about an hour, so we're good.
All right, number 877-876 Phil, Mr. Bozell, I know you're a good father, I know you love your kids, but the appropriateness of your joke, and we have a lady on the line now. Is it Robin? Robin, is that your name?
Yeah.
Robin took exception to this whole pointing to the butt thing. Go ahead, Robin, and tell us what you think.
Well, I don't have children, but if I did have a child, even I don't believe it was appropriate about the butt thing being on, you know, pointing to it as being a catcher. I didn't catch the joke at all. I didn't find it funny. But if I did have a child that was either in preschool, middle school, or high school, I don't think that was appropriate. Some people may look at it like that. Some people not. I look at it that, you know, me personally, I would take it as being like perversion, like very pervertness of somebody pointing at their, you know, being a catcher. I don't understand that.
Well, ma'am, understand, please. Can I, Mr. Andrew?
Go ahead.
I'm not, the pervertness of it is not so much that, you know, I think it would be more pervert if I had stood up there and said, hey, kids, if a man wants to touch your butt, you know, like that kind of thing, I'd never do anything like that. But the little girl looked up at me and she goes, what's a catcher? So I laughed and I pointed to my butt.
Right, but that's letting the little girl too much information.
TMI. Yeah, TMI. Because, I mean, I don't know what's going on with the Penn State ordeal. I haven't heard, but I'm listening to this and I'm catching, I guess it's about, like, gay, being gay or something.
What happened? Robin, let me tell you what happened. There is a Penn State coach that I guess is involved with kids off campus. You know, Penn State's college students, but these are underage kids. This guy's been accused of sexually abusing children. He's a Penn State assistant football coach.
And I think anybody that has followed the Nittany Lions, Joe Paterno, we feel betrayed. And I'm trying to just take a little of the pressure off of the Nittany Lion faithful. And just, you know, have a couple of laughs, point to your butt, go, you know, that's what the man did.
Yeah, maybe. The other guy said something about, like, at a bar on a Friday night for older crowds. Some people might have found that hilarious in front of children, even at a high school. You know, some people, I mean, if I was a parent, I would have took that very offensive.
Yeah, really.
Can I ask you, like, I have a lady, this lady, ma'am, could I ask you, I have the Erica Dorton tape, if I could play it one more time. This woman called my home, who's the headmistress of the middle school, and play the tape now, and this is what I heard. That's exactly correct. I said, hello, is this you, Erica? And all I heard was just this breathing, and I knew it was her. And now what is she doing? Now she's telling me I can't tell a joke about, you know, pointing at my butt, but she's breathing into my phone.
You know what? I don't know that woman that I want to talk about. I don't know. How do you know that's her?
Oh, I know it is.
The viewers, the people who are listening to the show or whatever can't say if that's the principal of a school or not. They're just going by what you're saying.
Well, ma'am, I mean, figure it out. She's telling me one day that I can't tell no, you know, butt joke, and the next night I hear, you know, that on my phone. I'm sure it's her trying to intimidate me into not telling no jokes.
Trying to intimidate you into not telling. How is she going to do that? Listen, Robin, thank you very much, Robin, for your call. Appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. How is she going to intimidate you into not telling jokes?
If she calls my home, how can she intimidate me? Did you hear that? She calls my home and told me, no, don't eat those. Don't eat the big hunk until we get home. Hold on, Phil. Don't eat the big hunk until we get home. My son, we got two big hunks and we got two big daddies. I want the big daddy. Oh, boy, that's great. You said I could have the big daddy.
Okay, what's going on?
My son ate. We got two big hunks. We got two big daddies. I hate big daddies because they pull my teeth right out of my head. They're made out of caramel. I don't like them, but I do like the big hunks. They're made out of taffy. So my son wants the big daddy and the big hunk, and so I said, let's get the big hunk and the big daddy, and he gave me this really weird look, like, yeah, wouldn't you like that, something like that. I mean, Steve Jr., why'd you say that? Yeah, he thought me saying, let's go get a big hunk and a big daddy, that I was doing some more Penn State jokes, and I've never slapped my son in my life, in my entire life, Mr. Henry. I've never slapped my son, but I felt so much like I wanted to slap his head, slap and slap till the head come free.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a really great instinct, I must say.
I didn't do it, sir.
You have instincts that are really off the charts, man, you know. You have instincts about telling jokes in front of kids. You have an instinct to slap a kid's head off his shoulders. You know, so the kid made a joke. You're talking about pointing at your butt.
Yeah, I didn't say, you want to go get a big hunk and a big daddy? Oh, wow, you got a one-track mind. That's basically what my son said.
Your son said you got a one-track mind.
Well, that's what he was saying, or what he was trying to say. I didn't do that. Now he's there sucking on a big daddy. You want me to say something about that to him? That people don't want me to make these connections? Okay.
You know what? The fact that you make that connection is really sick. I think you need to call that school also and tell Mrs. Dorton that you've been on the air talking about her, mentioning her name, and saying that she breathes into your phone.
Oh, you think she's going to sue me?
Yeah, she could. She could have grounds to sue you for libel.
For what?
Libel.
How do you spell that?
Get out of here. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Ted Bell and Dr. Jim Sadler next hour.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous, excuse me.
World famous,
pardon. World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And more importantly, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And so we have to do it. We have to do the heavy lifting. We have to lead the way. And we do that each and every night here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with all kinds of things, satire, commentary, which is sort of satirical commentary and so forth, plus our website, philhenryshow.com, plus our live streaming video of the show that you can watch at philhenryshow.com each and every night if you have a backstage pass, as well as all of the thousands of hours of archives and so on and so forth. Now, and we also are selling our Ted's Beverly Hills hoodie. Am I getting the...
Boy, man, why don't you let people take a breath, man, before you go into commercial?
Sorry. I didn't mean to inundate you guys with a bunch of, hoo-ha and pitching, but let's face it, you know, times are tough, man, so everybody's got to, you know, man got to do what a man got to do. Hell, I'm just trying to make a living over here, you know.
I can dig that, man, but, you know, don't be, like, burying people in it.
No, I know. I'll let your heads up out of the sales pitch trough here. Anyway, welcome to the show, guys. And we do have a number of things we're going to be talking about, much of it related to the Sandusky allegations. Other commentary will follow on other topics. But really, our two primary guests this evening, and there probably will be more, we are going to be talking in a moment to Herb Sewell. And Mr. Sewell was an incarcerated a prisoner at a forensic hospital. He had been remanded there. I believe it was in 1994, remanded there for child molestation. He was convicted, did 8 years there, underwent intensive therapy, and is now at a halfway house and has been an actual news contributor on this program. And you're going to meet him if you haven't met him. And I think that you will hear his story and at least be comfortable with him to this extent, that at least he can comment on some of these stories. I don't know. But we've had Herb on the show before, and he's provided some insight, although it's shocking for people. It truly is to have him, to have anybody like that on the radio show. Later on, we will have Charlie LaFountain on our program, and he's going to be discussing, we're going to be discussing the how to protect your kids. And Charlie is a grandfather. He is a member of Residents Association, where the kids are really closely monitored by the grandparents and the parents, and he'll give us some tips on how they're protecting their kids. And then we'll do our news and commentary hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're going to bring on Herb Sewell right now so we can talk with him about the latest. Now, first of all, before we talk about anything, Herb, and how are you doing?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you.
Before we talk with you about anything, let me just update people on the latest. And the latest is that there have been First of all, one of the mothers of one of these victims has spoken publicly. I heard her on the Anderson Cooper show this evening. I'm sure she's spoken to perhaps other news media outlets. Among the very shocking things that she said, this is almost unbelievable, and it almost, it kind of pissed me off, to be honest with you. She said that when she heard from her son that Jerry was doing some stuff that was not quite cool, she went to the school, and the principal called her up one day after hearing this in tears and asked her to come to the school. The principal's in tears and says to her, "Now, you know, I have to talk to you about Jerry, but understand he's a very nice man, and please understand the ramifications of what you are contemplating," which was going to the police.
I understand.
And so this woman, what she did do is she took her son and she went down to the Pennsylvania version of whatever they call it, Child Protective Services, which immediately contacts the police. Well, what I found to be really disturbing about all of that was the school's reaction and this principal saying, "Hey, now, Jerry's a really nice guy." I mean, I was floored, man. I mean, I got to tell you, I was like floored. I couldn't believe a school. I can understand some stupid people. I understand there's all kinds of, the world's crawling with dumbasses. But for a school with educators saying, "Well, you know, Jerry's a nice guy and understand the ramifications of what you're about to do," and are you kidding me or what? Now, Herb, you were arrested for this crime. You did 8 years. Tell us what happened to you.
In terms of my incarceration?
Yeah.
Well, I was incarcerated. I was underwent electroshock, insulin shock. I was very heavily medicated at one point. And, of course, I'm dealing with other issues in my life having to do with issues having to do with the way that I was raised and my mother.
Were you molested?
I'm not willing to discuss that right now, to be honest with you. I would simply say...
I'm sorry, but they say most molesters were molested.
I'm not willing to discuss that right now, mostly because I don't really want it to appear as if I'm pushing the blame off onto somebody else. My primary interest in all of this, Phil, is how this is going to affect the rest of society as we move forward in dealing with predators, which, yes, you're right, I was one, and in protecting children, and also the lives of former molesters, former offenders, if you will. I prefer to call them offenders because I think that really at the end of the day that's what they were. If you keep calling them molesters, I think that you are saying that, that the status, the extant state of these people is that they are molesters. Certainly not. I'm not a molester. And
you have not reoffended.
No, I have not. Most certainly have not. And I would say to you that I'm in a situation right now observing parole and at a halfway house and doing work by way of telecommuting whereby I keep myself under court order in the strictest of circumstances. Now, it is not to say that I don't try to have a life. And to that end, the South Bay Resident Co-op, which was something I joined, all adults, and is a health organization.
Now, what is this, a social organization?
It is a social organization of adults who are interested in what I guess has been traditionally called sun worship. And this is something that I have to take into consideration. I have to ask, all right, what are the parameters here? Because every other weekend we are meeting at one or two of the beaches in the Southern California area, and we sun worship. What are the parameters?
When you say sun worship, what do you mean? Do you mean you're nude?
That is correct. We are sun worshippers. You wish to call it naturalist. I don't like to use the term nudity because I think it bespeaks of sexuality. It's no sex. This is about sun worship. This is about, observing the naturalist lifestyle. Now, what do I need to know? What? Lay it out for me, because I don't want anyone thinking that Herb Sewell is out there trying to molest their children. That just isn't the case. But on weekends, certain weekends out of the month, I'd say on average one weekend a month, maybe two, I am with South Bay RC, and I don't have any clothes on. We are sun worshiping, and we're doing a variety of other things. We're swimming. We're playing volleyball. We're doing all of the games of Over the Line, but we are without any. We don't have clothes on. Now, the reason why I say this is that I want to know how does this work with children, so that we don't do anything whatsoever that will run afoul of children.
Well, I first of all, let me ask you this: do you think that that's a good organization for you to be in?
Absolutely, because there's no children allowed. They're all adults. I'm not around children.
Some of these organizations, these naturalist organizations, they have families.
No, not this one. This is all adults. No children allowed.
Okay.
And so, but my question it still stands.
Well, again, so you think it's a healthy organization. I know there's no children around. You're nude on a beach someplace.
That is correct. But it's not just that we're nude on a beach someplace, Phil. We are there as part of a regimen of health, and as part of a regimen of activity and exercise without clothing, because the idea of clothing at all times is really quite destructive and really quite meaningless. Not that we don't wear clothes to go to work, but you see what I'm saying. But I'm looking for personally, and I think the South Bay Resident Co-op is looking for this, because I brought this up to them. I said, I will be very honest with you, I at one time was incarcerated for child molestation. So I don't want to obviously reoffend. What do I do? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? So that I don't have someone saying, isn't that Herb Sewell? And he's standing on the beach with no clothes on, playing volleyball, and looking very cavalier. That's not the case at all.
Well, I can tell you that would be I don't blame you for fearing that, because, if I didn't know you, but I knew what you had done, and there you are, you're playing volleyball, and
Yes, and it is insightful. I understand it's insightful for some people. If you're looking at naturalists, or you're looking at sun worshippers, and there's the obvious fact that on men especially, but also women, when you're jumping about and you're having a very heavy exercise period, you're doing some kind of exercise, you're obviously the certain parts of your body are going this way and that. They're swinging around and so on and so forth. And I'm not going to get very graphic on that. I think you understand what I'm saying. And some people find that very insightful. And
well, insightful in that it makes people angry.
Yeah, it would make people angry, and I understand that. And so that already, we've already got one foot in it, if you will, as we're playing volleyball and we're playing Over the Line and all of these different games. And this is going on with the different aspects of our bodies. And then you have a man or a woman saying, look at those people, and they're obviously exposing themselves. And it makes me angry that the breasts on those women are swinging up and down and the men. And by the way, I've got my children with me. And isn't that Herb Sewell? You see what I'm saying?
Well, do you fear that you're going to be recognized?
Not so much that, but I want to be very clear as to what are the parameters here.
All right, well, how about this? Why don't I just say this? And I'm sure we can take phone calls when we go to our break, which we're going to do right now. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 is our number. Herb Sewell is with us. He's a man convicted of child molestation, was in prison, is out now, is at a halfway house, is under strict parole supervision and whatever that is, Herb. And one of these days you could explain that to us.
Well, it's simply you're having to report to a parole officer.
I understand, but you also join some kind of a nudist organization, and you're fearful that someone's going to think you're running afoul of children that way.
That is exactly correct.
Well, let me just say this. Why not have these meetings of nudists where you are on the beach, you have no clothes, whatever, as far away from children as you can?
Because, well, first of all, it's not practical. We have to have these events close to the city and close to the metropolitan areas and the associated environs where people live. You can't very well have this out on a secluded island somewhere.
Well, I don't mean a secluded island, but I mean you certainly don't want to run afoul of children, as you say, so you wouldn't want to have it in any area where there are kids.
But it changes from one week to the next. I am the only one in this organization, as far as I know, that has this problem. I have been incarcerated for molesting children. Everybody else is obviously it is never does not have this on a record. So they're moving these meetings all over the place, and there may be a meeting or an event where we are without any clothes on.
Well, I don't know. First of all, legally, how you can do that in California? I mean, nudity, public nudity.
Well, but yes, but in Florida and there are other places where we move our meetings around.
All right. Herb Sewell on the line with us. Florida. Does he fly to Florida?
No.
Herb Sewell on the line with us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. He's a former. He was incarcerated for child molestation. Now he belongs to a naturalist sun worshiper organization and is afraid that he's going to be perceived as, you know, trying to pick up kids. And he wants to know what the rules are when it comes to that, so that there's no impropriety. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Herb Sewell. Later on tonight, we have Chris Norton and Charlie the Fountain joining us. We'll be
back. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL as Herb Sewell joins us from the Los Angeles area. Mr. Sewell was incarcerated at Atascadero Forensic Hospital in Northern California for a period of time as a result of convictions for child molestation. And you were in a pretty serious environment up there, weren't you?
I would say that, yes, I would say it's very serious.
Some pretty rough people.
Well, I understand that this is a forensic hospital, which means that these people who are considered having these sorts of issues that are emotional or mental, if you will, and so they're not hardened criminals insofar as the cell block in a federal or state prison, but nonetheless, I was there with Randall Toomey, I was there with Walter Belhaven, Patrick William Morris. These were all notorious serial killers. In one instance, Randall Toomey, who was catatonic and was a man, the last physical act that he did on the outside was to murder his entire family. Walter Belhaven, a serial murderer from the time he was 12. So, yes, this is a very, very serious group of people. My crimes pale, I would say, without trying to be too cavalier, but my crimes, I think, would pale in comparison to the Walter Belhaven. Now,
all right, but the point being, you were there, and these are serious people, and your crimes are serious against children.
Absolutely, Phil. Yes, I'm not trying to minimize them. I'm just saying that.
No, I understand what you're saying, and you did your time, and you are out, and you are not supposed to be around kids, but now you're in this nudist group, and
yes, but there are no children in the nudist group. These are adults, and
I understand that. You want to know what the parameters are for what, a nudist group?
I'd like to know what the parameters are for a nudist group, and what are the parameters for nudist groups that have individuals such as myself that are former offenders. And we're trying to work on language, Phil, so that when we do leave prison or we do leave a forensic hospital, the language is, I'm not a former molester, I'm not a former offender. I was the guest of the state of California in terms, and I had aberrant social habits that needed to be corrected. And
I think that's asinine. Asinine.
Why is that?
Because you were molesting children. Aberrant social habits that needed to be corrected. Sounds like you're taking an Emily Post class. Let's go to a phone call here. Yes, sir, you're on the air on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. Is the gentleman there online? The gentleman calling in, I forget what his name was. You there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead, sir. You're on the air. I forget your... What is your first name?
William.
William, go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, I mean, my thing, I'm just sitting here and I'm listening and whatnot. And, I mean, for a person to be a sex friend and to want to be in a nudist group, I mean, you have the right to be able to want to... After you do your time, to go out and do what it is that you want to do. But, I mean, it's just certain things out there that you should stay away from. Like, a beach is a public place, you know what I mean? And
of course,
you really can't, you know, predict whether or not a child is going to be around you. Like, you're setting yourself up to fail. You know what I mean? You're already going to be aroused and jumping around and exercising butt naked, you know what I'm saying, with whoever's out there.
Well,
and then,
well, I'm not looking for children. I understand that, but I'm not looking for children. I'm looking to exercise and be a part of this group of adults that are playing volleyball, and we're enjoying ourselves, picnicking, lunching. But I don't even want the hint of impropriety. And if I'm out there and I've got no underwear on,
but that's
and
my
a kid
point.
Wanders...
But that's my point. If you, it's not about what you want. It's about what other people perceive of what it is that you want. And have, and being that your status is what it is, if I walk by with my kid and I do know who you are, you know what I mean? All you have to do is make a funny look that way. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to assume that you're giving him the eye. And the fact that you're butt
that's a good,
makes it even worse.
That's a good point, Herb. What about people that may recognize you?
Well, see, this is what I'm saying. If someone does recognize me, such as this gentleman, William, I would be able to, if I've got some parameters, to say to him, William, before you say anything, you know, discuss it. Now, if he does recognize me, and I'm standing there, and I'm in what we call a half regalia. Half regalia means that basically when you're sun worshiping, if it's a cold day, you wear a shirt. Well, wearing a shirt, if you've got a T-shirt, but you're naked from the waist down, I'm basically standing there with my genitals hanging down. And I would hope he's not going to walk by. Yes, sir?
Like, I mean, what beach are you actually able to do something like that?
Well, it changes from week to week. Many of them, it's sometimes Cove down in Laguna Beach, sometimes, but they do change from week to week.
Why? Are you trying to stay ahead of the police? I mean, this is...
It is legal in some... Mr. Henry, that was very uncalled for. No, we're not trying to stay ahead of the police. It is legal in some areas of Southern California if you are so many hundreds of yards away from a roadway or... that kind of thing.
All right, listen, William, thank you for your call, sir. We got to take a break. I appreciate it very much. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, talking to Herb Sewell, a former child molester, now out of prison and has joined some kind of a nudist colony and wants to know what the parameters are.
Phil,
we'll be back.
Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're talking here with Herb Sewell, and all of this was really a part of the Jerry Sandusky Penn State scandal that is now rearing its ugly head, and the more we hear about it, the less we like it. Not that we liked it at all. Not that we liked anything having to do with it, but as these facts come out, Herb, they're just more odious and more odious.
Well, I totally agree with you. They are very odious.
And as someone such as yourself who's been in prison for this, you know what people's view is. It is extremely raw. Sometimes it can be violent. Sometimes it's harsh.
Phil, believe me, I know exactly what you're saying, and I know the sensitivities. And I became aware of those as I went through my treatment, you know. And when I got out of Atascadero, after 8 years of being treated for this horrible, horrible compulsion, which is to harm children in this way, you begin to reflect and you begin to see the horror of the crimes that you committed and the horror that you visited on people. And you believe me, a rational mind never wants to be involved with anything like that again. And that is who you're talking to right now, Herb Sewell. I'm not claiming that I was rational then. I'm not claiming that I was rational at any time during my hospitalization. But I'm telling you that today, I have a rationality and I have an appreciation for the dangers and for the harm that I did do. And I'm very grateful for this chance.
All right, so having said all of that, why have you joined a nudist, I don't know what you call it.
Well, first of all, it's not nudist. It's naturalistic sun worship. It's not a colony. It's a club. And I joined it because I have an interest in health and sport, and certainly wanted to meet people who have a similar interest. The regalia that I'm talking about is called half regalia. What we wear are sweatshirts or sweaters that come just below the navel. And then everything on down, you are disrobed. You're naked. We only wear those in cold weather. But I was concerned because if we're playing volleyball And people see us wearing these sweaters and are, if you'll forgive me for saying, the men at least, their genitals are swinging everywhere. People are going to think that we're trying to make people angry, that we're trying to show off. I don't know what they would think. So that's why I wanted to know the parameters.
Well, what do you mean the parameters? What are you talking about, the parameters?
What are the parameters for me being in a nude club?
Well, have you asked your parole officer? Have you asked the...
I can ask. There's a lot of people I can ask, but it's better for me to get the lay of the land and the feel, because the parole officer is going to tell me, no, 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 no. Whereas people might be more... I can well imagine, for instance. I heard what you said.
Look, you know, you're dancing around us, Herb. I already told you that people have a very unforgiving nature.
People have an unforgiving nature, but when they know that I'm not interested any longer in their kids, then I can get some input as to how to proceed. Because right now, if I'm, for instance, at a beach activity, at a beach function with the South Bay Resident Co-op.
And this is this nudist organization.
This is the Naturalist Sun Worship, yeah.
Okay.
And I am nude, and I'm standing talking to someone. And I'm laughing, and I'm enjoying myself, and suddenly a kid walks by with his parents, and they recognize me. Am I protected? You know, in other words, what do I do? Do I start? I can tell you this. My instinct is to start running. And
your instinct is to start running. Well, maybe that's a good instinct, because if you...
Well, that's patently illegal. I'm not going to be harassed that way.
Well, look at Herb. If you are standing there laughing... And why did you bring up laughing?
Because some people may find that provocative, that I'm laughing and uproariously, and someone walks by and recognizes my picture from the newspaper.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. You know.
Don't know. And yet you're judging me. This is what I'm talking about, Phil. The judgment. The constant judgment. You're judging me, and yet you don't know. Should I run?
Should you run? I got to just go back to what people were saying. I would not be in that situation. I would not put myself in that situation, like that one gentleman said, of being a nudist, a former child molester, and now you're standing on a beach laughing and playing volleyball, and a guy walks by and recognizes your face from the newspaper.
Yes.
And that, well, okay, so he's going to confront you, perhaps. And you want to know, what do you do? Run at that point? Yeah, I think I would.
Well, all right, thanks. Because you just stepped into the trap. That's illegal. He's not allowed to do that. So I said what I said, Phil, to see if you'd take the bait, and you did. And
what do you mean, take the bait? I mean, what else could I say?
You could say something that would be legal. Legal. Do I have the legal right to be in the half regalia playing volleyball and laughing? Yes, I do. Do I have the legal right to have no clothes on? Yes, I do. Do I have the legal right even to have, as you say, you know, the genitalia swing? Yes, I do. And
well, no, you said that. Let me get a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me go over to Dean. Hey, Dean, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Herb Sewell. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a father. I'm the father of a young son, and I'm the father of two daughters. And I'm listening as patiently as I can to the man that you have on your program, and I'm really trying very hard to understand. I consider myself to be a pretty liberal and progressive person. In fact, I've donated much of my time to progressive and liberal causes. And so one would think that I'd perhaps have a better understanding of a man like this.
I would hope you would, sir.
Well, now, what I want you to do is just not say anything, please, until I'm finished. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm a progressive person, and I think that I'm a liberal person.
That's the same thing.
Mr. Henry, would you tell him to not say that?
Please, Herb, don't.
I said liberal and progressive.
Would you please tell him to not do that?
Herb, just let the man finish.
Okay, well, is he the program director of the RIF?
Would you please ask the man, because I'm trying to be patient, I want to see things on your side of things, but the more you talk, the tenser I get. And I'm into holistic health. I'm into health, too, Mr. Sewell.
And I think holistic healing is wonderful.
Would you please?
Herb, just let the man finish.
The sound of my voice, does that bother you?
Yes, it does. Yes. I'm going to say something that I don't think I ever would have said, because I've marched for women's rights. I marched against the war in Iraq. I've been at Occupy San Francisco for 14 days straight, to the point where I have not had a bath or anything decent to eat. My breath. And the reason why I bring that up is I kissed my wife today, and she, my own wife, looked at me and waved her hand like my breath. She used an old line. She said, your mouth smells like the you-know-what army slept in it.
Japanese army.
Yes, and I didn't want to say that because it was very, very politically incorrect.
But it seems to me that you're trying not to be politically...
Would you please shut your mouth?
All right, now hold on for just a minute.
I don't want to listen to this guy, Phil.
All right, hold on for just a minute. Let this man finish, but I have to tell you, Dean, get out what it is you want to get out, and then let Herb talk, because you're spending more time correcting him.
I understand, but when he talks and interrupts me,
this is a free country.
Shut up!
Herb and Dean, I'm going to hang up on you if you yell again. Herb, just be quiet.
I spent 2 weeks at Occupy San Francisco. When I got home to my own wife, she waved her hand in front of her face when I tried to kiss her and said my mouth smelled like, that's correct, the Japanese, and she didn't even use the word Japanese. She used a shortened version of that. So in recent days, our home, which has always been a refuge for progressive thought, for people in our neighborhood, for people in our town, for people in our area of the Bay Area here, it's been a refuge for progressive thinkers. And in recent days... We're under a great deal of stress when my own wife says that I got a mouth that smells like the you-know-what army slept in it overnight.
Sir, you're laughing.
And I am not laughing. I'm emotional.
I heard you laugh.
And I am not laughing. You want to see me laugh? I'll come to where you are, and I'll sever your...
He's disconnected.
Of course he already just... He's disconnected. He disconnected when he was born. You know, when he was born, he disconnected.
Okay, Herb, but as I said, when the man was getting jacked up and getting wound up, you should have just kept your mouth shut. 877-876-PHIL. Harvey Wireman is joining us now. Harvey, I know that you've had experience, obviously, in the criminal area of law, and we have. And I know you know Herb. Give me your take on whether or not Mr. Sewell's activities at a nudist colony make sense.
Well, first of all, I know Herb Sewell. How are you, Herb?
Very good, Harvey.
First of all, this man has every right in the world to... he's got every right in the world to go wherever he wants and do... There's a song that came out a number of years ago, Go Where You Want to Go and Do Whatever You Want to Do. You know the song they did?
I think that was a song by the Fifth Dimension.
What was that?
Song by the Fifth Dimension?
Yeah, Fifth Dimension.
What do you mean, Fifth Dimension? What are you talking about?
That, the name of the group.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm sorry. All right, so this was a song. And it said, you got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do. That's what, I don't want to say that ought to be the theme song of child molesters, but the way we're living these days. And
well, what do you think he should do in terms of this nudist...
I heard the man say five times it's not a nudist, it's a naturalist. What did you say, Herb?
Yes, thank you, Hobby. It's a naturalist of sun worship organization.
Yeah, naturalist sun worship. As a criminal defense attorney, hold on for a minute. Get Grandpa a big glass of water, that new water that your mother brought. We just got back from dinner, Phil, and I had a delicious, they had a cheese item that I got, but it creates phlegm. So this guy should be singing you got to go where you want to go and do how you do it, you know?
I understand about the song Go Where You Want to Go. I understand that. I doubt seriously whether that's a very good theme song for child molesters, you know?
Why not?
Go where you want to go?
Bill, I'm sure you understand if we've served our time.
if we did the time because we did the crime. You've heard that before.
Yeah, but you know something, man? There's such a thing as a supervised probation, etc., and that's what Herb is currently observing. So what should he do in terms of a nudist, or if you don't want to call it that, this sun worship organization?
Well, Herb, the best thing for you to do... The best thing for you to do is if you are, you're out on the sand and you're enjoying your afternoon, I can certainly understand that. You people don't wear pants or something, is that what you do? Well, we wear pants, but we don't wear, on cold days, we will wear a top. And so it comes down to the Navy. Yeah, but for all intents and purposes, you're naked.
That's correct, yes.
All right, well, then what I would suggest you do is if you see a man walking down the promenade or the walkway or however with a kid, that you very, very slowly approach and say, my name is Herb Sewell. I was incarcerated for child molestation, but, and this is very important, this is very important. I was incarcerated for child molestation, but I've been through intensive therapy, and I'm here with adults. You have nothing to fear, and maybe even because what you don't want to do is make them afraid. So, see, yes, I'm naked from the waist down, and you can see. And
you must be out of your mind, man. That would never fly.
May I finish? Oh, boy. Can I finish what I'm saying? Bill, you're butting in.
I don't care if I'm butting in. Are you crazy? Hi, I'm Herb Sewell. I was incarcerated for child molestation. And let me just say to you...
Can you mind if I finish with... I've got...
Hold on. What a whack job, man. Every time I have that cat on the show...
What's wrong with his throat, man? He's always gagging.
Oh, he's gagging? How can a guy get a point out when he's gagging up phlegm and he's not even giving you anything realistic? Hi, I'm Herb Sewell. I was arrested for child molestation, but as you can see now, yes, I am nude from the waist down, but I'm here with all these adults. Okay, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Herb Sewell. We've had Harvey Wireman on the line with us, talking to us about what he thinks the criminal ramifications are of Mr. Sewell, a former child molester, being a member of a naturalist or nature-worshipping organization, and exactly what that can mean to him. By way of the law and his ability to remain within the law, we'll get Herb back on the line here. And Harvey is with us from San Marino. I'm sorry to have to hang up on you, Harvey, but I didn't hang up. I didn't put you on hold so radically. We had to go to a break, you know.
Well, you know, and you also were saying to me that I forget what you said, but you said that he had no right to be at the beach, and I beg to differ. As a criminal defense attorney, I happen to know what a person's constitutional right, you know, constitutional rights are. And the let me jump in here, Harvey, because I know that you're struggling this evening with the phlegm issue, but thank you very much, by the way, for coming to my defense, as it were. I do believe that that we all have to understand that even those of us that have been in prison have every right in the world to do whatever it is we feel like doing within the law. And so the
idea, Harvey, that he's nude on a beach.
Oh, well, the idea that he's nude on a beach, he's not going up to a kid and saying, "Hi, I'm nude."
But you're telling this guy that if he happens to see somebody that recognizes him, he should walk up to the man and his kid and say, "Yes, it's true. I was incarcerated for child molestation. Hi, little boy. But I'm okay now." Meanwhile, he has no pants on.
You know, you make everything sound like a twisted joke, Henry. This is the thing that you make everything sound as if it's a gag.
Well, what do you call that? That sounds like a joke to me.
I can assure you, Phil, it's not a joke. It's not a joke when the father is standing there and he wants to run you through with whatever is handy. It's not a joke when they want to come to your house and burn it to the ground with you in it. It's not a joke, I can assure you, when they want to tie you to a tree and set fire to the tree. I've seen it all happen, and I've seen it happen millions of times. You tell them, Herb, because as a criminal defense attorney,
when are you going to retire, man? That's what I'd like to know.
What did you just say to me? Boy, I can't believe you said that.
I said, when are you going to retire?
When am I going to retire? Well, you got a pair on you.
I don't know how it is you argue a case when you're standing in front of a judge and a jury, and you're saying, and your honor, or whatever it is you're doing there.
You know something? You got a big pair. Herb shouldn't be afraid of joining a nude colony, or a, what do you call it, Herb, a nude colonization? No, it's not a nude colonization.
You call it sun worshiping.
I'll do it, thank you. It's called sun worshiping. Sun worshiping? Sun worshiping.
Sun worshiping.
I'll do it. All right, well, you know, you got such a big pair on you, Henry, that Herb shouldn't worry about being in the nude. When a kid walks up, you ought to, because you could sit on yours. I think you would have a pleasant tomorrow.
What a foul-mouthed bastard he is. 877-876-PHIL. Let's get Margaret Gray on the line here as we're talking with Herb Sewell about this idea that he wants to be, in a nudist club or something. Margaret, how are you?
Well, I wanted to. I don't know what it is you're talking about, but I heard Harvey mention a song, Go Where You Want to Go. Now, I know that I don't want to interfere with the, or intrude on the topic, but I heard the mentioning of Go Where You Want to Go. Is that what I heard?
Yes, Mr. This is Herb Sewell.
Yes.
Mr. Wyman mentioned the song, Go Where You Want to Go and Do Whatever You Want to Do.
No, it's not called Go Where You Want to Go and Do Whatever You Want to Do. That's number one. It's called Go Where You Want to Go. The song was recorded by both the Papas and the Mamas and the Fifth Dimension, Phil, and that's what you were struggling with. You know they were a group, right?
Yes, I know they were. It's called the Mamas and Papas. And
no, I said the Fifth Dimension.
You said Fifth Dimension.
I know that, but she also said the Mamas and the Papas and the Mamas.
They're called the Mamas and... Boy.
You really don't know your music, do you, Phil?
She said it. I didn't say it.
Well, the song goes like this, okay?
Jesus.
Who said that?
I did. I'm sorry, but I was put on Mr. Henry's show.
Hold on for a minute. One, two, one, two, three. You gotta go where you... Oh, forget it. I can hear the bumper music. You know, you really know how to pee all over a guy's picnic. So, I really hope that you come down with a very, very raging, virulent, sexually transmitted disease.
Phil. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Whether or not I have time to deal with this, I don't know. Bud, he wants me to talk to him right now. Is that right?
Yeah, it's Mr. Hall and Miss Gray.
Yeah, David, are you going to bat for Margaret again here?
Supposed to mean?
It means every time I hear from you after I've had her on the air, after she's told me to go to hell, after she's told me that she hopes I die in a gasoline fire, after she's told me that she hopes that in this most recent one that I get a virulent sexual disease and then now go out and make it a great day, I know I'm going to hear from you.
Look, Phil, the lady was trying to sing a song, okay, and you were mocking and laughing and hurrying her along. All I'm saying is I promised her that you could sing the song. You know her husband's wired in. She's got a very heavy husband. Frank Gray is a major producer in this town. I can't afford to piss a guy like that off. She knows what she's talking about.
That was Frank.
Oh, really? Oh, gee, I didn't know that was Frank. The only guy I know that confuses genders, you know?
Don't make fun of a man who's got a crippling ailment, Phil. I'm surprised at you.
Oh, come on. It's the goofiest thing in the world.
What are you are you talking about my husband? My husband has provided a wonderful life.
Margaret, I'm not talking about it any other than I just said. You know, the cat's got a goofy illness. Are you telling me that he doesn't?
Are you telling me he doesn't? That meant Phil, I don't know whether you fell on your head as a child, but sometimes when you get excited, this is what you sound like. That's what you sound like, okay? And
well, you know, Margaret, you're mocking me, and I can't make fun of your singing.
I was a professional singer at one time. I was on Broadway at one time. At one time, I will have you know, Richard Harris stood in the wings and watched me perform with tears in his eyes. And if you make a joke about how he was crying because my singing was so bad, I'll get in my car and I'll come there. I'll go to where you work, and we'll see whether or not a woman is able to hold her own against a man. Would you like to see that? I'm talking to you. Would you like to see that?
No, I was amazed at how all of a sudden the restaurant went away for a few seconds.
I told everyone to shut up because I'm on... Here. Shut up. Shut up. There, you like that? Start talking. When I'm on the phone, Phil...
Margaret, you can sing the song. I just had to get to a break, okay?
Yeah, that's better, okay? Talk nice, will you? For crying out loud, Phil. We're just trying to get this... Trying to get to a place where we... Get these guests. We appreciate what they can do for us, and we're not pissing people off. Thank you very much, David.
You're welcome. I'm actually at Temple City Pool.
Yeah, I can hear the pool, the pool tables. Are you playing pool?
No, I'm playing tennis. Wow.
Bill, you're kidding, right?
Never mind.
Wow. Are you playing pool? Did you get that one? Hey, Frank.
I heard what she said. I didn't believe.
I'm sorry, Phil, but sometimes we all have our comeuppance, and sometimes we just have to sit down, and we've just got to suck on it. And tonight's your night to suck on it.
Okay, all right, fine. I'll suck on it. What can I do for you?
Well, I don't like you saying that so soon after I said suck on it.
What can we do for you, Margaret?
I want to finish singing that song, but Frank, you said what?
I heard Harvey saying that we're talking to this guy about child molestation. I thought heaven and hell.
Heaven and hell is that's my choice, too. The reason why I want to sing heaven and hell, Phil, is because, are you kidding me? That's exactly what we're talking about, heaven and hell. And the words, I think, of Ronnie James Dio are going to stay with us for many, many years. Sing me a song, you're the singer. Do me a wrong... I forget how it goes.
You're the doer of evil.
You're the doer of evil. And so with that in mind, Phil, I'd like to do this song, and I'd like to do it in a respectful way so that we could all understand just exactly what this Sandusky thing is about. Bud Dickman, thank you. Very tight, Bud. I like that.
You're welcome.
By the way, everyone, Black Sabbath is returning. They have a tour for 2012, I believe. So, not that I...
Yeah, I can't go to that. I would vomit if I heard things out loud.
Just shut up. I don't know the rest of the song, but here it is. 1, 2, 3. So it's all I love.
It's heaven and hell. Shut her up.
Boy.
All she wants to do is get on and sing. She doesn't care whether it has anything to do with anything, whether it has anything to do with what we're talking about. She just wants to sing. I thought she was going to sing Go Where You Wanna Go.
Yeah, she said it was going to sing go where you gotta go.
But go where you want to go.
All right.
No, that's the name of the song.
Yeah, that I'm sorry. But then she said she wanted to do Johnny James Dio.
Not Johnny James Dio. It's Gates named Ronnie James Jacko.
Are you two guys mentally retarded, like permanently, or is there hope? Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, that's what I'm sorry.
And what did she want to sing that for?
Just like you said, she likes metal.
She likes metal. My ass, she likes metal. She just wanted to get on here and sing. That's it. Maybe they're not having a garden party over there tonight. Maybe her bridge night is another night. Maybe they're just sitting around the pool and Frank can't find ice. And so they went out there to the refrigerator at the bar. I don't know what. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Charlie the Fountain is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes to talk about his method and the method of his organization that is comprised of seniors, grandparents, and parents, of making sure their kids are safe. It's called Operation One Step, and they feel it's been very, very successful in making sure that the kids where they live, which is out in the Inland Empire here in Southern California, the kids are safe from predators. It's certainly a big story, this Sandusky story, which I was watching today in some of the other new facets of this story that have come out. And a couple of them, one of them, the fact that this mother has spoken out, the mother of victim one, she's made some very specific charges. She said that she was in touch with the school. The school had been in touch with her. They were aware of this guy Sandusky, that this man Sandusky was taking her kid out of class. Can you imagine this? He was taking the kid out of class. And when the mother said, what are you talking about? He's taking him, like, oh, well, he does it on occasion, Coach Sandusky. Can you imagine your child being taken out of class by someone other than yourself, without your consent or knowledge, and you find out about this whenever? I mean, it would scare the hell out of me. I don't give a damn who the guy is. So there was that. Then the reaction of this principal, when the woman said she was going to go to the police, the principal started a bawl and was saying, please, you don't understand the ramifications of what you're talking about. I've never heard of anything like this before in my life. It's a story that is getting more ghoulish by the second. Coming on the line now with us is Charlie DeFountain. Charlie's been a contributor to our program. Charlie's retired and has been involved in business in the Inland Empire of California for a long time, but is now retired and is part of this one-step group. Charlie, how are you?
Very good, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program. I enjoy your show, and I have to tell you, I don't envy you some of the people that you talk to.
Well, it is part of the job. Charlie, you have a granddaughter, right?
I do.
How old is she?
She's 12. Liz is 12, and we have a grandson, but he's very, very young, because my daughter got married again. She was divorced and married again, and they now have an infant son.
All right, so now you have this granddaughter that you have been very active, along with your daughter and her husband and others in your organization, this One Step. You want to protect the kids from predators, is that right?
Well, we do, and what we wanted to do, and I think we've succeeded at doing, is a very practical way of applying some sort of protection for our grandkids or our children when we are not around, Phil. This is when our children and our grandchildren are at risk, when we are not there to protect them, when we are not there to observe what's happening. You just mentioned this coach, this Sandusky, taking this kid out of class without the knowledge of the mother, and I couldn't agree with you more, Phil. To me, that would be a shocking and very sickening revelation to know that there were times when my own child was being removed from class by an individual that I now suspected of having assaulted that child. So I can't think of anything more, I think you've used the word ghoulish. I think that's a very good word.
Tell me about One Step. You say it's easy, it's practical. You've had success?
We have had success with One Step, and we call it One Step because it is just one step. Understand that a predator who is going to literally take a child off of a street, somewhere, anywhere, a predator is going to put this child most likely in a car, and that individual is going to be alone with this child for the first few minutes, and unless the police can get to these people and rescue this child for longer than that, and I don't even want to get into, but there is something that can be done in those first few minutes. You make the child not a very practical target for the predator. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is it is not practical to have an individual in close proximity to you who is unpleasant to be around. And I'm not talking about something that the child is going to say or do. I'm simply saying that the very hygiene of this child, and that is the whether it's the smell or the actual cleanliness of the child, is so extreme, the problem with this extreme, they're very unpleasant to be with. So what we've done with our granddaughter, Elisa, and in the one step, is that at least 2 days a week, they are not allowed to bathe, they're not allowed to shower. It sounds very extreme, Jeff, listen, because it makes so much sense. And when I first brought this up to the people in our organization, they were very much in favor of it because no one had ever brought this up. But you, for 2 or 3 days a week, you don't allow the child to bathe, you don't allow the child to brush their teeth, nothing. And you also encourage them, because they're so young, to eat, and to eat to the point where they do gain some weight. Because, again, we want to make these children so unpleasant to look at and be around that a predator is going to move on. And
all right, I tell you what, Charlie, hang on the line here. We're talking with Charlie the Fountain. Can you hold on?
I certainly can, Phil.
Charlie the Fountain talking with us about one step. And one of the things that they feel is important is to make a child unpleasant to be around, which means no bath, no brushing the teeth, no cleanliness for about 2 or 3 days a week, so that no predator would want them in the car with them. 877-876-PHIL. Does this sound practical to you? 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Charlie the Fountain. We'll be right back here.
Truth.
Stick around.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And philhendryshow.com.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and Charlie the Fountain is with us. We have as well, I believe Margaret Gray is also going to be joining us in a few minutes. We have David Hall in Temple City, California, and a couple of things happening out on the highways tonight that we have to let you in on. But Charlie, again, talking to us, now we have the restaurant. I want to get Charlie the Fountain up. Charlie, is that you?
Yes, Phil, right here.
So talking to us about One Step, where you, and we have some callers to comment on this, but you are discussing and have put into effect some sort of a process by which a child is made unappealing or is somehow repulsive?
Well, that's the logical thing to do, Phil, and that's what we've done. And I said this to the parents. I said, do you want to have a kid in your car that smells and that is fat and ugly and all of this? And of course, you don't want to make your child... Because you know that when your child finally gets to be of age, you're going to put them through a very strenuous training. You know, you're going to put them on a diet, put them through training. But you don't, as they're young, you don't want to make them ripe for the picking, is the way that I look at it. So that's what One Step is about.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let me go to a phone call here. Jerry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Charlie the Fountain.
Hey, Phil. Thanks again for letting me talk.
Yes, sir.
I'm an EMT, and I'm here with my brother-in-law, Phil Colt, and we're thinking that this is just an endangerment of health. Not to mention, I mean, they're young, but we're going to destroy...
What do you mean endangerment of health? The endangerment of health is to have the predator, get their hands on this young person. I would much rather have that child stink like a stink like the city dump than have that child get into a car with a predator. Wouldn't you agree?
You know, I agree. You make a lot of sense there, but you've got to be out of your mind to have your kids not brush their teeth. I mean, I discipline my kids if they don't brush their teeth. And not
of course.
So what you're saying is you want kids to become fat, stinky, and have bad teeth and unhealthy, correct?
No, I don't want them to degenerate to the point of bad health, but I think that there is a time in their life, once they are past that stage where they are the prime target of a predator, where you put them on a diet, you put them into a rigorous training program, 6 weeks, low-carb, high-protein.
Wait a minute. You've got them eating all kinds of crap, and you've got them not brushing their teeth and all this stuff so that the predator won't go near them, but at some point they're going to have to go on a diet and go into some...
Well, of course you want them to be healthy, just as this gentleman is bringing up. But when they are ripe picking for a predator, you want them to smell and look as, and be as unpleasant to be around as possible.
No, 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 no. There's much better ways for your children to teach them ways to
avoid
these predators.
Well, but I understand, but
in a Taekwondo class, and we teach them in Taekwondo, if a predator tries to remove them or approach them and take them, they are to drop to the ground and kick and scream as loud as they can. And I think that's a great way to avoid a predator. If a child knows, if somebody grabs them by the arm, to drop to the ground, use their dead weight to drop to the ground and kick and scream. As opposed to
First of all, you're asking a child. Children are very self-conscious. They would be very embarrassed to drop to the ground and kick and scream, especially a young boy who would make fun of him.
They would be more embarrassed to be fat and stinky and a fat brat.
What I'm trying to say to you, sir, and I know that you know, I can hear you laughing, and
well, it is a little humorous.
No, it is not humorous. When we're saying the following thing, I want that predator not to come near my child. I want that predator to avoid my child. Now, I can tell you from my own experience, in our town, we had a guy who was well known to the residents. He was hanging around downtown in the commercial district. I saw this guy, and I waved to him, and I pointed to the car where my granddaughter was sitting, and I said, "You, move on." And when he knew that I was Charlie the Fountain had started the program, he knew that my granddaughter stunk to high heaven.
What? How do you know that?
Because I know it. And you can teach a kid to scream and yell like a little girl. I think you're going to find a lot of boys don't want to do that. I think they'd much rather smell like the dump, like a corpse.
Well, come on, man. I mean, if you're talking, just as this gentleman said, he's an EMT. If you're talking about a kid smelling like the city dump, now you're getting into health issues. Now you're...
Why?
Because you are. Because you're getting into, as this man said, decay, tooth decay. God knows, we already got children get head lice, and they get all kinds of things. You cannot protect the child by endangering their health. Listen, Jerry, is that all? Did I interrupt you? I'm sorry.
Abuse. It's called child abuse.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You're trying to put a label on it. We're trying to avoid child abuse. We're trying to avoid child abuse.
Is a predator, number one, they're whacked anyway. A predator, anybody who's going to go after a child is sick in the head already. They don't care if they stink or smell like a rose. It doesn't matter. They're nuts. But when a parent...
Are you kidding? Are you telling me even the craziest predator doesn't want to have something that smells like a big, fat cow turd?
Okay. Listen,
child into a big fat
counter. Yeah, exactly. All right, listen, Jerry, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, you know, Phil, people can laugh if they want to, but this is deadly serious business. And
I understand that it's deadly serious business, sir. But you're talking about turning a child into something that smells like a cow turd. At what point does that child get more serious problems smelling like that?
Being molested? You've got to be kidding. I hope your boss is listening.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. One step. Make your child unappealing to a predator. That's what his idea is. We'll be back with more of your phone call.
Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Charlie the Fountain and more of your phone calls, 877-876-PHILS. We're talking to Charlie about One Step, which is a neighborhood program that was instituted by himself as well as others, whereby the kids are protected in a sort of a passive way, is what you're calling it, Charlie, because they're encouraged 3 days out of the week not to bathe, not to brush their teeth, and in point of fact, to overeat and do anything they can to make themselves not attractive to a predator. Now, are they doing this year-round?
Well, we we'd like it to extend the year-round. Right now, we're negotiating with the school district. We do it during the summertime when the kids want to let themselves go anyway. But we're negotiating with the school district to enable the children to do it during the school hours. In point of fact, we had our own, what we called our own Days of Rage, which was a, it was very much civil disobedience, but we had the kids show up for school on Monday, having spent the last 4 days without a bath, without brushing their teeth, nothing. And we had a confrontation at the school. There were kids there whose parents allowed them to bathe, and there was an issue. And
was it the comfort of the kids?
Well, it was the comfort. It was they claimed that the smell was overpowering. And I made the point to the school district. I said it's supposed to be so that predators are not, seeking our children. So we compromised, and we're hopeful that in the coming spring semester, the kids will be allowed to at least a couple days, I think it was 2 or 3 days out of the month, that they'll be able to practice one step and really get a good odor going, because this is the most important thing, Mr. Henry. It's a way to repel a predator when you got that odor, and it is a very distinct odor. One that I recall a older brother of mine who had been in the Marine Corps in World War II, and he had been in Tarawa, where there was a great loss of life, and it was 1 degree above the equator, so that within 3 days, the smell of the Japanese dead was so overpowering and ripe, and he said, if that's what you want to smell, he says, if you can somehow find a way to smell, he said, you want the kids to smell like that. And I said, well, I never smelled it before.
You want the kids to smell like an island full of dead Japanese soldiers.
You find that funny, huh? The death of men?
No, I do not. I find it funny, bizarre, that you want children to smell like that. Let's take a phone call here on the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Travis. Travis, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Charlie the Fountain. Go ahead, please.
How you doing?
Very good, sir.
All right. Hey, man, that's really disgusting, man, not to have the kids bathing, man.
Could the caller speak up, please? Could you speak up, sir?
Oh, yeah, hold on. Let me, I said that's really disgusting. You got kids not bathing.
Right, but we don't want them to smell sweet like a flower so some filthy predator could come along and say, wow, this one smells good. You see what I'm saying? We want
not
them to
really.
Be so...
No, because if the school's going along with it, the school needs to be shut down. That's sending out our diseases and stuff.
Well, what diseases are you talking about, sir? If a child...
I mean, you're not bathing, man, on a daily basis. You're supposed to at least take 2 baths a day. Do you bathe
every
day?
Do I bathe? I take showers. I try to only take 1 shower a week, though. And this is my own personal...
You take 1 shower a week?
Yes, sir. But I'm retired.
That means there's something wrong with you, too, then.
No, sir. Now, I take a shower a week. I do do what we called...
water.
Well, no, sir. I take what's called a sailor's shower, where I wipe down.
Why are you not taking a daily shower?
For my own personal reasons. For my own personal reasons. I think the water supply is hard water. I think it's very unhealthy. And
man,
I can tell you that...
It's unhealthy not to bathe every day.
Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you this.
You're supposed to bathe and brush your teeth every day. Use the
oil. Sir, can I ask you a question? Are you suddenly my mother? Of course you're not. I will do what
I'm not your mother or your father, but you're supposed to be taught that when you was coming up to wash every day.
I can tell you this.
I need to ask the caller, Travis, to turn his radio down. Travis, we can hear the radio in the background. Will you turn it down?
I can tell the gentleman this. I can
tell
the gentleman now, see, he's going to be over there turning his radio down.
No, he's listening.
I'm right here.
All right. Well, you walked over to turn your radio down, so you didn't hear. Didn't you walk over to turn your radio down?
You're supposed to be taught to bathe every day. Your mother and your father told you to bathe every day.
Yes, I was taught that.
Why you not doing what you're supposed to do with your kids then.
For political reasons. The children, to protect the children, to protect them from predators who will not want to put them in the car if they smell like they don't wipe.
Well, how about that kids then? Every day, every day in your community, one parent just go pick up all the kids on a couple of blocks where they located at. And that will work out on it.
Say that again.
Every day, a different parent go pick up the kids from school. All y'all put in money together and just get like an excursion van or something. If you have to make two or three trips, oh well. The kids will be safe that way.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
I heard what he said. He said have the parents get a van and pick all the kids up that way.
Well, that doesn't protect the children when they're out at the mall, when they're out at the movies, when they're walking to a friend's house. There's a million different... What's wrong with the kid being repellent? And I'm just
You want the kids, everywhere they go, you want them to just stink. You want them to be funky wherever they go.
To be what? Funky?
Funky.
That's it? Yes. Look, you might as well know. We teach the kids at least once a week, don't wipe. And
Now that is unhealthy. Don't wipe.
Yes, we're trying to do everything. We're trying to save lives, Mr. Hendry. The lives of our children.
You're killing lives that way, man. You ain't saving nothing.
Oh, whoever died from not wiping their rear end? Are you kidding me?
Oh, come on, man. At some point, people are going to... You know, at some point, the people, just regular people, are going to come to you and say, your kid stinks, man. You better put that child in a bathtub because this is not good.
Well, then I'll say to them, you're trying to kill my child?
And you know what they're going to do? They're going to lock you up in a nut house.
So that's
yeah,
it.
That's right.
So that, oh, you think I'm crazy too, is that it? So you two guys think.
But
go
what
ahead.
I'm saying,
you think I'm nuts.
What I'm saying is, though, if you don't practice healthy hygiene with your kids, how are they going to practice it with their kids?
They know how to take a bath. I tell them, this is only so a predator doesn't want to stick you in the trunk of the car. I need for you not to wipe on these 2 days, and we mark the calendar.
What your grandkids must think you're goofy.
No, they do not.
Either that or they must have been raised. thank you very much for your caller, sir. That's Travis.
Was that man laughing?
Yes, he was laughing.
Well, I will tell you this. I think I have sunk to a new low.
Yeah, well, you certainly have.
No, not me. I've sunk to a new low. No, I'm visiting a new low. I haven't sunk to a new low. I'm visiting a low that you've sunk to. And that low that you've sunk to is you laugh at a man that is trying to keep his grandchild...
No, sir, I'm not. I wouldn't laugh at any man trying to keep his children or grandchildren safe. But the method that you're using, number one, I don't believe is going to be effective at all. I agree with that one caller who said that these people that are predators are so sick, they're so messed up, they don't care how the kid smells, they don't care how the kid's dressed. That's got nothing to do with it, man. They'll abduct your child or your grandchild just as fast as any other. And
so they want to put a kid in their car, sit next to that kid over God knows how many hundreds of miles while they take him to a cabin that they've got in the woods, while the kid smells like he wasn't born, he was dropped out of a cow's ass. God.
Will you watch your language, please? 877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Hendry Show. We have a traffic situation that we have to get to, and I want to talk to this gentleman on the line. Hang on the line there, Charlie. Is this... Well, hold on for a minute, because you still have that the restaurant on. Is this Austin?
Yes, sir.
Austin, how are you doing? What can we do for you?
Yes, sir. I wanted to report I've had a... an axle brake on my truck here just about... I don't know, probably about 20 minutes ago, the axle broke on my truck as a result of me having a swerve, and I had some event take place in the cab of the truck. If you can hear me,
I can hear you fine.
There's a lady that was singing a song, and it caused a disorientation, and I jerked the wheel, it broke the axle. So I've got a semi down here, and I got a cab over, got a jackknife my cab over out here.
Where are you?
I'm on the 5. I'm on the Interstate 5.
And you jackknifed your semi where?
Just approaching Lake Estee, what do you call it? Six Flags.
You're approaching Six Flags?
Yes, sir.
Magic Mountain up there?
Yes, sir.
Get Margaret on the line.
What's she going to do about it?
She's the one that caused it. Get her on the line.
I don't know if you're talking about... Lady was singing, and I'd like the song to heaven or hell on a Ronnie Jane Dio. I've always enjoyed it. But when she started to sing, I went, God Almighty, help me, help me. That's the last I remember feeling. I was praying to God for help. And
what happened?
It was a high-piercing squealing. Oh, God. It was a squeal, all right.
Okay, Margaret Gray is joining us here from Santa Monica. Margaret, are you there?
Yes, what is it?
I'm sorry, but there's a gentleman here who had listened to you sing last half hour, and apparently it caused... Austin, you want to tell her?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Austin Amark. I'm a truck driver up on Interstate 5 right now. I heard you singing Heaven and Hell, and when you hit the high note, I was disoriented, and I had to jerk the wheel, and... got disoriented, I jerked the wheel, and I stabbed the axle, and I had it jacked out of my truck. And I don't want to complain or anything, because I like that song, but what you done to me.
Well, I don't understand. Are you saying that you somehow wrecked your truck because of my singing?
Yes, ma'am, because of the high pitch.
I have had a lot of people try to insult me. I can tell you, I've had a lot of men come on to me like I'm nothing more than a $3 hooker, but I've never had anyone say to me that they jackknifed a truck near Lake Castaic on Interstate 5 because of my singing. I think you're lying.
No, ma'am.
I think you're lying. I think Phil Henry put you up to it.
I did not.
No, ma'am. I called a radio show just a few minutes ago.
I think Phil Henry put you up to it. And as the result of your lie, I'm going to sing the song again, and I would suggest you turn your radio down.
No, man, please don't. The radio is on, and I can't turn it off because the electrical got fried when I flipped it. I had to call my supervisor.
I don't care. I'm going to sing the song again. And I find it very, very untoward, Phil.
Well, wait a minute. You're not going to sing anything on my show because I won't let you.
Get David Hall.
All right, I'll do it right now.
Oh, great.
Yeah, she's going to call David Hall.
What if I put you on hold?
Tell David Hall he's going to put me.
You know, I can't believe you, Margaret. Here he is. David?
Yeah, look, just let her sing her song, will you? For God's sake. Just let her sing the song. I've been bothered and bothered and bothered by you. Are you there, man?
David, I'm here, and I want to sing this song because the truck driver said that my singing actually caused him to flip his truck, and I won't stand for that. So I'm go ahead, Bud, and we can hit it right here. There you go.
All right, can you hear the music, Phil?
Yeah, I can hear the music.
Please, please don't. No, please, ma'am, don't do it. Please don't do it.
Well, I wasn't going to do it until you called it and made an outrageous claim.
Ma'am, please don't. Ma'am, I can't. God, please don't.
No, you know, this is taking time out of my life.
Well, then don't sing it.
Shut up.
Oh, God, oh, God.
You're a doer of evil.
Oh, please help me. Help me. What is going on?
I don't know. La, la, la. How do you feel?
All right, let's take a break. 877-876, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with us from the Inland Empire is Charlie the Fountain, as we continue to discuss with him the One Step, which is this program of not having your children or grandchildren bathe or wash or take care of their hygiene or even take care of their weight so that they are unappealing to predators. And again... Charlie, there's a lot of different ways we can talk about this, but the practicality of it I don't think you've addressed. That is a child that smells like that. And on top of everything else, folks, we've had Margaret Gray and a gentleman on the Interstate 5 up near Magic Mountain who flew, or jackknifed his truck this evening, and we'll get back on the line and talk to him if we have time. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Amy on the Phil Henry Show. Amy, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, Phil, for one, I totally respect you and your opinion about
Thank you.
It. I am a mother Thank of you. Five kids. That is totally irresponsible. That is not even adult thinking of telling your children not to bathe or brush their teeth. Or
well, you understand, ma'am, that's not my opinion. That's not my opinion.
Oh,
Mr.
I know,
LaFountain.
I know. So your yeah. gentleman that is calling in, you know, a grandfather.
Ma'am, I'm a grandfather, and in order for you to understand this, I think you need to realize that I only have the best interest of my granddaughter at heart. And
but
I don't
you
want...
do? Why don't
yes,
you teach your granddaughter, like the gentleman said about self-defense, you're
about
not
what?
Even making any sense about raising our children nowadays to be overweight. And
ma'am, I'm trying to come up with ideas to save our children. When you look at what's going on at this at the pen.
I am all for saving our children. I have a daughter who was molested by her uncle. So tell me, what do you do with your children who come across people who they trust and are supposed to love? What do you tell them?
If your daughter stunk, then the uncle, if your daughter had smelled...
Are you even rational? Are you...
Ma'am,
am I
asked
talking
me,
with an adult here, or am I talking
of course
to
you
with
are.
A mentally...
Are you trying to tell me
person?
That if your daughter smelled, and I smelled really ripe, I mean, she really stunk, you think that uncle would have gone near her? I don't think so.
That's ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
How is that not making sense when someone smells as if they were, as if they've been dead for a month?
Okay, you tell
yes.
me. What about these women who are being attacked and raped? You're going to tell
think,
me if you would have been
I think,
stinky and fat, you would have
I think
been,
that,
I've heard of 90-year-old women who have been raped and attacked. So you tell
but for
me,
90, they probably looked good. For 90, they probably looked
me.
Pretty good.
Oh, come on.
You are not even making sense, dude. Did your mom
drop
you on your head too many damn times when you were little?
You mentioned a 90-year-old woman being attacked. You mentioned a 90-year-old woman being attacked. I haven't
you
seen a photograph of her. Maybe she was...
Our children are battling today with overweight
yes.
and obesity, and you're encouraging them to be? You're encouraging
Are you trying to tell me... Wait a second. I want to be clear on this. Are you trying to tell me you'd rather your kid cut a dashing figure and get molested or stink like an open grave and be safe?
Oh, that's not the choice.
Let's talk about this.
God.
So, you,
that's what you'd rather have.
That let's say, yeah, let's not bathe. Let's not brush our teeth. Let our teeth rot out of our mouth. And then when you
yes.
get to a certain age, here, let's force you to take that weight off and be beautiful and everything. It's people like you that are giving our children bad ideas about their own images. Now you're thrown in there about pedophiles and jackasses like that.
You are trying.
And now you're bringing in our whole image thing?
Ma'am, I'm simply trying to make our children safe. Let's take you, for instance, you're a mother, you're a young lady, you sound like a young lady. I'm sure you're very attractive. You're out by yourself. And maybe your husband's too stupid to give you a cell phone. I don't know. I don't want to comment. But if you smell bad, and never mind.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Now,
all
of us.
You're not even. Because.
I'm not even one.
Instead of teaching our children.
If
to,
you stunk.
So a buddy
you
system, wouldn't have... a. Arming our children with the knowledge. And
right. Arming kids with knowledge is a very good point. We got to take a break. We have to take a break, Amy, but you made some really good points. And
I don't think she made good points. I'm talking about
Phil Henry.
Very unfair.